No, you tell it.
No, you.
I'm not telling it.
You should totally tell it.
Well, you should tell it.
No, you tell it.
Hello, and welcome to Know You Tell It, a hybrid story incubator slash performance series. Each Know You Tell It participant develops their own nonfiction piece on the page, then switches with a partner to perform each other's work on stage. Because nothing informs your story like hearing someone else perform your story.
Today's Two on Tuesday stories are from our show, Fear Itself, recorded live at Jimmy's No. 43. First, Edward Campbell finds himself across the globe on the search for the perfect symbol to ink on his body, only to return home with something more meaningful. Here's Tattoo, written by Ed Campbell and performed by Dana Penter.
This was it, I thought to myself. Balance. I had asked for a sign and had finally found it. This would be the thing that I would wear like a badge. Look at me. I'm unique and different. I am this shape on my skin. Nervously, I asked the old man, is there a symbol here in Bali for this balance? Of course. As he pointed over my shoulder, I turned to confront the thing that I so hoped would come to identify me once and for all as the spiritually whole balanced being I wish to become. Let's back up a bit. I'd never wanted a tattoo. Until my wedding day, I'd never worn any jewelry. But a lot has changed since I slipped this band on and said I will a few years back. You could say I'm a bit buttoned up, don't like to stray from my comfort zone, but she is a free spirit and introduces me to so many great things. I just have to trust her. And I do. I mean, she's the wife, you know? From what I understand about marriage, she's going to write an awful lot in our life together. But truthfully, I do listen to her. It was her idea to go to Bali for our honeymoon. And I was all about it. I mean, shelling out the 10 grand took some convincing, but in the end, it was all worth it. We couldn't afford it right after the wedding, so we waited a year to go. Sometime during the year between our wedding and the trip, she mentioned the tattoo. Now, I mentioned that I'm a bit of a square, but I'm not against people who have a desire to express themselves through body art or jewelry or whatever. I married a cultural anthropologist who wants to take me around the world, exploring the way we live and declare our individuality. I'm fascinated by it. And she was going to get one, a tattoo, in Indonesia, no less. A country where you were counseled not to drink local water and drugs were so illegal you could go to jail for the rest of your life. This is where my betrothed was going to let a man stick a needle in her body. You should get one too, she said after showing me Sanskrit phrases and botanical sketches that were her ideas for her tattoo. At first, I was terrified by the idea. I had an ingrained instinct not to stand out. To wear the boring clothing, to drive the normal car, to conform. I blame middle school. Enough harassment from gangs of 12-year-olds would get Al-Qaeda to start wearing Z Cavariches and Air Jordans. Getting a tattoo was so out of my wheelhouse, I didn't know what to say. But due to the same middle school indoctrination, I was equally terrified of being uncool. So when pressed a few weeks later about the idea that we get tattoos together, I managed a meager, sure. Now I was in for it. Getting tattoos together in Bali, Indonesia, was suddenly the most romantic thing ever. She could see the two of us gazing into one another's eyes as swarthy men scratched through our skin with electrified needles and laid tiny puddles of liquid under our skin colored with whatever you use for ink on an island with limited resources. For the next few months, she would research symbols and ancient words that had come to define her. I mean, she really thought about it. She was going to have the most beautiful, meaningful tattoo ever. And I was going to get one, too. What are you thinking you might get, she'd ask. I was too terrified of the prospect of putting an image that encapsulates everything I am and everything I will ever be onto my body to even contemplate what that image would be. So I would stall. I don't know. Maybe I'll decide when we get there. Maybe it will just speak to me. I was digging myself in deeper. I should have just come out with it. I should have just crushed her dream of side-by-side hepatitis injections right then, but I just couldn't. She was my sweetheart. She wanted tattoos. I was going to have to give her tattoos. So we went on our honeymoon to Ubud, Bali, the spiritual epicenter of the island. First of all, Bali is breathtaking. It's not just waking up in your treetop villa and stepping into your personal heated infinity pool that overlooks thick jungle mist winding through a tropical canyon every morning, or the people, or the landscape. It's an inherently mystical place. They believe the Hindu gods and spirits live on the island. One deity lives in a big volcano to the north, another comes out of the sea to the east. Every object is filled with life and meaning. Sculptures are adorned with flowers and dressed in gowns and hats to welcome in the spirits of heroes and ancestors. When you encounter them on the street or in a forest, their painted eyes seem to look at you as if you know them. Before long, you feel as though you do. All day long, people create offerings out of banana leaves, flowers, and food, usually fried chicken and rice. They lay them at their doorstep or on a high shelf as a bribe to their god neighbors on the island. As one person we met there described it, Bali is cosmic. My wife was right. This place was magic. I got lost there. It was easy. Everyone there was believing in everything so much. It was hard not to want to believe in something too. After finding and meeting with her tattoo artist, she turned to me and asked, "Do you have any ideas about yours yet?" I didn't know. Here I was, surrounded by wonder and magic, and it just hadn't come to me. But I had to figure out something fast or I would end up with a tribal band and a Chinese character that translated roughly to, "Poser you can take for money." I needed help. I needed Bali to show me a sign. The next morning, we decided to hike from our resort to the temple on the other side of the valley. We packed water, snacks, and sarongs and headed toward this foreign destination. I didn't know what to expect. Would we really be welcome in a religious place where we're clearly just voyeurs to the rituals and contemplation? My intrepid wife was unfazed by the idea of such judgments. I just followed her lead. It was an interesting journey from our perfectly manicured luxury down the valley. When we reached the bamboo bridge at the bottom, we left the expertly poured cement and well-laid planks of teak behind and made our way up a fairly well-trod path surrounded by jungle and the occasional well-dressed statue. There were no other travelers on this day, so it felt like we were discovering this place for the very first time. We passed some abandoned staircases covered in moss and down limbs, a waterfall full of old folded banana leaf offerings whose flowers floated away to be snatched up by the river in thanks. We made our way to the top of the ridge, some couple of hundred feet above the valley floor, where the temple came into view. We put our sarongs on and made our way up to the front, slightly winded. The temple had no door, and like most things in Bali, was completely open to the elements, save a few carved awnings overhead. Three men sat on a raised platform. Two of them appeared to be workers on their lunch break and were listening to an older, thin man who was talking deliberately but calmly to them. All three turned to find us peeking hesitantly into their world. The older gentleman seemed to end their discussion with a smile, and the two men picked up their masonry tools and headed to another area of the small compound. "Please, come in," the man beckoned, not getting up. We made our way over to the elevated area he was perched on and sat. "You are from the resort?" I mumbled yes and tried to point over to the ridge, to the fully catered splendor he was surely aware we arrived from. He spoke with a much less thick Balinese accent than most, exposing his education. "I want to tell you a story, just 5 minutes," he said. "You don't have to do anything, but just listen for a while, and I'll say my story, and you can go about life. And if you have any questions for me, please tell them to me, and I will try to help answer for you." His only slightly broken English added to his Yoda-ness. He was very thin, elderly, and diminutive. He was wrapped in traditional robes, but wore a Western t-shirt underneath. He had the beautiful skin and crooked teeth of most Balinese. But his mysticism was in his perfectly cataracted baby blue eyes. I know it sounds terrible, but I half expected him to sell me a mogwai and tell me not to get it wet or feed it after midnight. You have come here for a reason, yes? You seek something, but you don't really know necessarily what it is, yeah? Many people come here, from the resort, from other places in Ubud, from Bali. From all over the world, I get called. Some man, he has marital problems. He wants to know how to fix his life. Some woman, she is very sick. She wants to make sure she lives well. They come and ask me what to do about life. Some still call. I give them my card. They make long-distance call and seek my advice. I tell them what to do. I don't take money. Maybe a donation for the temple if you like, but not for me. You see? Sure, you're going to tell me a story about life and living well in God, and I'm going to give you the equivalent of $10 when you're done. I know the drill. He turns to my wife. You are well on your spiritual journey. You are in the middle of your path. Then to me, you, I think, are just beginning. Welcome, both of you. He had us down. A pair of young newlywed Americans with perceptibly more money than we really had, who were disconnected from traditional happiness and were seeking it here in paradise. But it wasn't a tarot card reading. It was earnest. He was just relating what he knew and how he was able to help. We weren't paying up front. We didn't need to pay at all, just as he said. Life is about good health for you. Maybe you eat too much. Maybe the wrong things. Too much alcohol or drug. Too much work. Too little work. Everyone in modern world is about more and more. Everything is instantaneous, he said, holding up his iPhone. But good health is not about doing the best every time. It is about balance. This well-placed Bali is about balance. It is easier to balance on an island. You know how far you can go. We here are Hindu. We have the caste, you know. It is not as segregated as it was a long time ago or in some other places, but we believe in it for balance. Some people are better at spiritual. They become priests. Some are good for making money. They own business. Some are good at work. They work. Some are good at leading all the people, and they do that. We are equal. We are balanced. As an island, as a society, a world. And within us, we find all these things. We want to be better at each thing. We want individual balance as well. To be better as much as we can. Balance. You do what you can for God. You give what you can. It doesn't always have to be fried chicken. He said, referring to the banana leaf offering containing some leftovers from the workers' lunches nearby. Some ants were busily taking it away to their chosen spirit. I was fascinated by this. I was totally out of balance. My work around the clock, New York self, had been so focused on adapting to my high-expense lifestyle that I hadn't taken the time to consider who I was. I craved this balance. I needed it. I was going to remake my life to accomplish this precept. I asked him more about this concept and listened. My wife could tell I was thinking about the tattoo. And she was smiling warmly when I asked the question, in Bali, is there a symbol for this balance? Of course, he said, pointing his finger behind me. Swastika. I turned and immediately spied the giant 15 by 15 foot swastika woven in bamboo. I was stunned. I couldn't square what this object was doing in my field of view. What had I missed? How did I stumble into this Nazi sympathizer's Hindu work camp? I was dumbfounded. The old man could sense my confusion. It is not the way it is used where you are from, of course. It was ours first, many centuries ago, in India. That is where they stole it from. But Bali wasn't a part of that history. We need swastika to help us remember to balance, to remind us to be a whole person. I would later learn that in Balinese Hinduism, the swastika can represent four ways, or paths, that one can take. But they all lead to the same place, a oneness together. It is a symbol that exists in many ancient areas of the world and can have many meanings. and it was part of a confused transformation into an instrument of fear itself, when pseudo-historians mistakenly linked its use to India, but the origins of the white race. Which is why it was definitely not going on my body. And that's when I realized, however strangely, this was the sign I was looking for. And it was clear. I was not supposed to get a tattoo. It wasn't for me. For my wife, certainly. Hers is beautiful and perfect for her. But it wasn't to be a part of my story. Some people are better at that. Maybe someday I'll get better too. But I have to live my part of the balance and be good at that. So being a little buttoned up and a little uncool is okay. And she agrees. It's what makes us work so well together. I am what I can be. I practice my balance. I don't have a tattoo. It doesn't have to be fried chicken.
Now, switching it up, Dana Penter's Eddie the Nut Job is a tale of harassment and attempted home invasion by an unlikely culprit. Here's Edward Campbell performing her story.
At first sight, I thought he was cute. I didn't mind his presence. In fact, as much as I liked my alone time in my cozy Hoboken apartment, I welcomed his visits. I grew accustomed to seeing his face in the morning, to looking up from a sip of coffee and his dark, gazing eyes. He was my reliable breakfast companion. I don't know when Eddie moved to the neighborhood, but I had been living on Park Avenue in Hoboken for 3 years before we ever met. It was a cool September morning, and a sudden squawk and a bang startled me awake and propelled me out of bed. I ran into the living room. What was that? Nothing was out of place. I peeked into the kitchen. Nothing. Then suddenly, bang, 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 rustle, rustle, rustle. The noises were coming from the living room. I followed the sounds to my window, where, through my drawn shade, I saw Eddie's silhouette. I pulled up the shade, and to my surprise, there he was, on my fire escape, looking in. Now, you might think it's pretty creepy behavior at first, but considering Eddie was a squirrel, he probably didn't know any better. I gently knocked at the window, and he inched closer, holding his gaze. I knocked again, and he stood up on his hind legs and puffed out his furry white chest. He was fearless. He then crouched down, dry-humped an acorn, and began to squawk. Suddenly, Eddie jumped up and scurried up the fire escape. I went about my day and didn't think of Eddie again, until the next morning. Once again, I awoke to a bang, bang, rustle, rustle, rustle. And sure enough, there was Eddie, on my fire escape. I saw Eddie only on weekend mornings. I suppose I left for work before Eddie woke up. I assume he hung out on my fire escape while I was at work and retreated to his nighttime spot once the sun set. Of course, I didn't know for sure what his daily routine was. Until one day. I got a late start that Tuesday. Just as I unlocked my front door, I heard it again. Bang, 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 rustle, rustle, rustle. I dropped my purse and went over to the living room window and pulled up the shade. There was Eddie. But Eddie wasn't the only thing I saw. I noticed several holes in the plastic side panels of my window air conditioner. I couldn't believe it. Eddie had been chewing the panels of my air conditioner. Eddie was trying to get inside. I did not want Eddie inside my home. As much as I enjoyed watching Eddie nibble on acorns and scurry up and down the fire escape, I preferred to watch Eddie on the outside, with my window serving as the TV through which I watched National Geographic's badass animals. But now Eddie, the badass animal that he was, wanted to cross that boundary. He stared me down, his beady eyes piercing my soul. He hissed, revealing razor-sharp teeth which sent a shiver up my spine. I was running very late for work. Was there something I could do quickly to prevent Eddie from breaking and entering? I ran to my hallway closet and pulled out a roll of electrical tape. I put layers of long strips over the plastic side panels of my air conditioner and left for work. I got to my office and immediately Googled how to prevent squirrels from chewing inside a plastic window air conditioner. I learned that squirrels can chew through just about anything. Wood, plastic, metal, and electrical tape! Panicked, I got up and I ran into my boss's office. Do you have a minute? I have a problem at home. A small emergency. A squirrel emergency. A squirrel's trying to get into my apartment. Would you mind if I work from home today so I can take care of this? She did not mind. When I got home, there was no sign of Eddie. The tape was still intact. Whew. Now what? I called my management company for advice, and they put me in touch with a pest control company. Pest management, how can I help you? Hi, I have a squirrel that is trying to get into my apartment via the window air conditioner.
You have a squirrel in your apartment?
No, at least not yet. There is a squirrel outside my window, and he's trying to chew through the plastic side panels of my window air conditioning unit.
Oh, I see, ma'am. You do not want a squirrel inside your apartment. A squirrel will destroy everything inside. You're going to have to remove the air conditioner.
Is there anything you can spray to keep the squirrel away? Is there another solution other than removing the air conditioner?
We can't spray anything that'll keep the squirrel away permanently. You're going to have to remove the air conditioner.
Oh. Okay. It's so heavy. I can't remove it myself. I was hoping there was another solution. I guess, I'll take it out. Well, thank you. Bye. Fuck you, I said. It was at times like this that it really sucked to be single. When it really sucked not to have any guy friends in Hoboken. I didn't have a squirrel contingency plan. So I called my dad. Dad, a squirrel is trying to get into my apartment. Can you come over one night this week after work and help me remove my window air conditioner? It's the only solution. I'll treat you to dinner. My dad said he would come over after work. I figured I'd just sit tight and do my work and keep an eye on the window. Dad would be by around 7. Around 4 that afternoon, Dad texted. Hi, my name is Eddie the Squirrel. I've been trying to reach you, but to no avail. I understand that you have nuts in your apartment. If so, could you leave some on the ledge for me as a good faith holiday gesture? I'm hungry and homeless. Leave it to dads to find humor in an aggressive squirrel trying to break into your apartment. Dad removed my air conditioner and relieved what I thought were my squirrel woes. The following summer, I purchased a floor air conditioning unit for my living room. For 2 years, I lived in peace and harmony. Whenever I saw a squirrel on my fire escape or outside my building, I wondered if it was Eddie. And if it was Eddie, whether he was angry with me for shutting him out. In October 2013, I got my answer. It was Eddie, and he was pissed. When I walked into my apartment on that fateful night, I was greeted by an unpleasant squawking and a thump, thump, thump. I followed the sounds to my kitchen. When I got to the window, I noticed air conditioner insulation and leaves and twigs scattered about my kitchen floor. My heart started to pound. I was terrified that an animal had gotten inside and was hiding behind my butcher block or my refrigerator. Was it a bird? Was it a rat? No, it was Eddie, and he was back with a vengeance. But he wasn't behind my butcher block or refrigerator. He was underneath my window air conditioner. Outside, pushing leaves and twigs and insulation through the widening crack between my air conditioner and the windowsill on my kitchen floor. And unlike my living room window, the kitchen window doesn't have a fire escape, so I was never concerned that he would try to get in that way. But there he was, determined as hell to get inside. This was one smart-ass squirrel. I knelt down to take a look at the space. And suddenly, Eddie's arm was inches away, reaching for me through the gap. I saw that the plastic side panels had holes in them. I ran for the electrical tape, knowing from experience that that was a fix, albeit a temporary one. As I pressed the strips of tape against the plastic side panels, Eddie pushed back on the panels, squawking and hissing. This was war. Full of fear, I called Jason, my boyfriend, who lived in Manhattan. Jason, a squirrel is trying to come through the window. Ah! What do I do? Help me!
Do you want me to come over? Do you want to stay here tonight?
No, it's 9 p.m. It's ridiculous for you to come here now. I have to stay here, guard my home. Of course, now that I had a strong boyfriend to rescue me from badass Eddie, I turned down the help. I didn't want to inconvenience him. Also, there was a certain pride that came with solving the problem on my own. The squawking and hissing grew louder and louder. With each strip of tape I applied to the panel, Eddie pushed back even harder. desperate, I posted to Facebook. Anyone know how to prevent a squirrel from chewing through the sides of my air conditioner? He's trying to find a way into my apartment. I don't want to remove the AC. Most of the comments were unhelpful. Spray it with deer repellent. I can't believe you still have this problem. What about stuffing the sides with steel wool? Oh boy, I def know what you are going through. That is exactly why I am deathly afraid of squirrels. I had someone nail small pieces of wood to the inside. Bud said shoot the squirrel and hatch them for dinner. Yep. Get a cat. The one piece of good advice came from Uncle Lou. If you rub pumpkins with apple cider vinegar, they stay away. I wonder if you could spray the sides of the AC with it. Well, I didn't have any deer repellent on hand. Cats made me sneeze, squirrels could chew through steel wool and wood, and I don't own a squirrel gun. My Uncle Lou was my go-to person for anything home improvement related. So his recommendation of spraying pumpkin chunks with apple cider vinegar seemed like my best option. I set my alarm for 6 a.m. That would get me enough time to go to the supermarket and back, line my window with apple cider vinegar soaked pumpkin chunks, and by 9 a.m. I didn't sleep well that night. I was afraid Eddie would find a way in while I slept and wake up the next morning with his sharp teeth next to my face. Luckily, Eddie stayed away, temporarily. My plans changed soon after I woke up. When I got out of the shower at 6:15, Eddie was already at it. He was banging and hissing and chewing at the window. I walked over to the window and bent down to see if I could see him through the space between the air conditioner and my windowsill. Ah! This time, when I looked down, two big squirrel eyes were staring right back at me. Eddie was almost inside. This time, when I looked, I threw on yoga pants, a sweatshirt, my sneakers, scrunched my sopping wet hair up into a bun, and ran to ShopRite. I loaded my shopping cart with apple cider vinegar and pumpkins. Thank goodness it was Halloween season. And hurried home. I cut up the pumpkins into chunks, dipped the pieces into the apple cider vinegar, and stuffed the smaller bits into the spaces between the air conditioner and the I lined large pieces of pumpkin along the interior windowsill like it was squirrel Halloween. Then I called a few handymen and found one who could come over that day. Not until 3 p.m. I'd have to work from home, keep Eddie at bay for a few hours. At 3, my phone rang. It was the handyman. He got delayed at another job. He wasn't coming. Shit. I needed the AC unit out today. Eddie could break in overnight and chew me and my apartment to bits. I called the local hardware store to see if they could recommend a handyman. They told me to call James. Dial 555-5555. Hello. Hi, is this James? Yeah. Hi, my name is Dana. I'm looking for a handyman to remove a window air conditioning unit, and Hoboken Paint Hardware said they recommended you. I can do that. You can. You remove window air conditioners? Yeah, I do everything. Okay, great. Are you available today? Yeah, I'll be there at 4:30. Where do you live? 4:30 is great. I'm at 1228 Park Avenue in Hoboken. Okay. See you at 4:30. James. 4:30. Either Eddie issue was about to come to an end, or I was about to die. I had just given some strange man with a deep voice my address and phone number and invited him to come over to my home at 4:30. He could kill me. Or he could remove my air conditioner and call it a day. Or maybe he was secretly on Eddie's payroll, and the two of them would take over my apartment. Sometimes you have to take a chance. I told my friends Kelly, Jean, and Mickey about James. Do you want me to come over? Do you want me to be on the phone when he comes? No, it's good. I can handle it. But if you don't hear from me, then you'll know. James, a burly man, arrived at 4:30 on the dot, and he brought a buddy, a smaller but still muscular handyman. Then they got to work. Not only did they remove my window air conditioner and carry it out into my hallway, but they cleaned up the debris that had come in from the outside of the air conditioner. I was grateful. And that was the last time I saw Eddie. But sometimes, think I could still hear him. That rustling from the outside. And I wonder if he's silently plotting a new way to invade my apartment. The next time, I'll be ready. Goodbye, Eddie. Goodbye. For now.
That's it. Thanks for joining us for this installment of Know You Tell It.
Visit us on the web at knowyoutellit.com.